You hear Sneko. What did you think of the song?
You're muted at the moment.
Sneko.
Sorry about that. I was saying.
Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to part two of the K-pop Shenanigans August Breakdown. If you didn't hear last week's part one, you definitely should. We went into the news stories and the first four songs we all wanted to talk about. This time, we're getting into the next seven and our 60-second segments. And when I say R, we've got a stellar cast here. Of course, I'm joined by our lovely editor, Zach. How you doing, man?
Well, I am slowly discovering that putting your recording studio in a closet has many positives, but air circulation is not one of them.
It would not have been, yeah, number one on page one would not be air circulation there. Good luck.
You take what you have.
Yeah, no, shout out to you for doing this so soon after you just moved, too. So that
yesterday.
Effort, the sacrifice.
I moved yesterday. Time.
Well, and look, man, I was keeping the facade that we hadn't just dove in to the first episode, and we're literally recording.
How long has that facade
later.
Ever lasted?
No, absolutely has not, which is how people will know. We have two lovely guests. I'm so happy to have both on the show, Andrew and Sneko. How are you both doing?
I'm doing good.
Doing great over here.
Great.
What was that voice?
Yeah, it's actually a very good question. What was the what was the voice? Plan there?
What?
Was that me or her?
You.
You.
Oh, me? Oh, I don't know. Wacky voices are fun. I don't know.
I like wacky
You're
voices.
Not wrong.
I am not, unfortunately, good enough at wacky voices.
The thing is, if you're bad at them, you're good at them.
Look, I did musical theater in high school, and when I went back to visit after my first year in college, the choral instructor looked at me and said, well, you were only really in it for the friends. So that's where my ability to do those things is at. Yeah. Yeah, she's got some spice. I have to. It's one of those things where I should be mad, but it was such a brilliant burn that, like, I just have to respect it. It's like the guy who once said that I was a fatter, less interesting Travis Gafford. I remember that YouTube comment, and I will always remember that. That's harsh, but really funny. I swear, if you know esports, maybe you follow the GGWP, our sister podcast. I swear that joke's funny.
I take your word for it.
But we're going to roll into seven songs. This was a busy month, a fun month, and the next one on our list is Bungie, Fall in Love by Oh My Girl. Zach, you are interested in talking about this one, so I'm going to let you start here. What were your thoughts on Bungie?
My immediate thought was going back to the last Oh My Girl song, which we covered on this podcast. Finally, one I'm not so weirdly divided on. This song, it's not going to be the most memorable of their songs. It's probably not going to be one that I'm like, oh yeah, I really liked that in a while. But it's good, it's solid, and it is not the weird, like, half of the song is great and half of the song is eh? Like their last one, the fifth season SSFWL, what, alphabet soup?
Yeah.
The title of that song was. It's like, you know, it's a strong summer song. There have been a lot of them recently. You know, sometimes it gets to be a bit much going through so many of them recently. But it's strong. It's pretty good. Also, who on earth in the show notes referred to them as OMG in Queendom? Because I feel like Oh My Girl should be remembered, should be known for more than just appearing in Queendom.
Oh, that was me. That's because I just had to remember, like, who they were. I actually am new to Oh My Girl. I don't know them at all. And I got introduced to them through Queendom, and I really like them, but, you know...
I was running into that because I'm like, yes, I've been watching Queendom and I've gotten to know them a lot better there because I'd never watched them on any shows or anything. So I didn't know like the individual people in them, but I knew the song. I've probably listened to all of their songs at this point. I knew them already. It was just when I read that, I would just thought, it's like they should be more than just that footnote.
Sorry.
No, I appreciated the footnote for the record because I too, not that experience with Oh My Girl, definitely learning more because of Queendom. And I do think for a lot of people, I don't want to say it's an introduction because they've certainly had some hits, but they've never had a something chart higher than 15th on the Korea rankings. So certainly a group that could benefit from that attention.
Yeah, they're a solid second tier girl group. You know, they're successful. They're decently successful at it. People pay attention, but they're not known for cranking out hits. And we did discover from Queendom that Seunghee's face is just makes the she just makes these funny faces all the time. I thought that one from Remember Me was just a joke for there. Just like, no, she makes that face all the time. the derpiest astronaut face. Picture will be in the show notes. I have to share this meme with everyone.
Very good. It's a very good picture. I just realized the first experience I had with Oh My Girl was that song Banana Allergy Monkey that you made me watch. And almost removed my interest in learning K-pop entirely back when I was first starting. That song is a trip. And I just, that needs to be in the show notes as well, because I'm never going to.
That's what I like, because it's so dumb. I know you don't like it, but I like that one because it's so dumb. I can understand why I don't think it. I think all the ones who are in that subunit, I don't think they like talking about it much.
Yeah. Shocking.
And I completely understand why, but I enjoy it.
I cannot imagine. I don't know, Andrew or Sneko, if you know.
I'm a monkey with an allergy to bananas is a line repeated several times in that song, and I love it for that.
That sounds like they're describing me, so that's fine. I too am a monkey who is allergic to bananas.
That's deep. Yeah, no, actually, you know what? I'm coming around on this metaphor. This might be my cat and dog. Just to get that obligatory, has to be in every podcast now. But I want to, Sneko, you're newer to this as well. What did you think of Bungie then?
Yeah, so obviously when I got the list of songs, I saw Oh My Girl there and I was like, okay, cool. This is like a good opportunity to like formally introduce myself to their songs. Because I have only seen them on Queendom and I only saw that little brief performance they had of their hit song. So I didn't really know anything about, like, I'm literally like a fresh baby when it comes to Oh My Girl, and I know of them and I know of their songs, but I've never actually like hit play and sat down and like really ingested the group. But this song was really cute. I really liked it. I find that cuter like songs are kind of a hit or miss for me, but this one was definitely like a hit. It was really poppy, it was cute, it was fresh, and I also really appreciate the clever wordplay. Since the song is called Bungie, and then towards the hook of the song, they say, 1, 2, 3, and you, hola, hola, and hola obviously means hello in Spanish, and they have the choreography to match that, but I confirmed with Hoyan over there that hola also means higher and higher, so it fits with the song, and I thought that was really clever. I'm a fan of puns and just wordplay in general. So I thought that was very cute. It's definitely like a song that's memorable. And this being my first song, obviously I have to listen to it in isolation and talk about it in isolation to their other songs. I don't know what their other songs have been like, but this song by itself is a very good song. And judging from what I've seen on the show, it very much fits their color that they're known for.
Yeah, I think it stands out as an Oh My Girl song. I think you could tell right away that this is very much their brand. I'm kind of with you in the cute songs are very hit and miss to me. And like this song, but I do have to say that I find it hard to remember it. Like, I have it on my playlist. It comes up. I would never skip it. It's fun. But I also can't remember the last time I said to myself, you know what song I really want to listen to right now? Is Bungie. And I feel like it's just in that in-between spot for me where, like, it's too good for it to be, it's a fun song. It's a good video. It's a fun concept. But it's not... It's missing that thing to just pop and stick in my head. It feels like, oh, yeah, another good, cute song. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, it fits their brand. And if you're an Oh My Girl fan, I'm sure that you absolutely loved this, but it didn't keep my attention and get to that next level of like actively wanting to seek it out necessarily. I'm still waiting for that moment with Oh My Girl. I don't think there's an Oh My Girl song, any of Oh My Girl songs, that I just jump to that hard.
Right. You would let it play on a playlist and would happily listen to it, but you wouldn't go through the effort of typing it out on YouTube.
Yes. It is, to me, it is the quintessential 3.5 out of 5 star song. That's where I put this. Is like, it's good. I like it. I'm glad it exists. Not going to be something that on my end of the year list is going to stand out as like a...
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you on that one. It's right around there too. I would say for the benefit of Sneko and anyone else who doesn't necessarily know Oh My Girl, off the top of my head, I would say the three songs to get an idea of them are Liar Liar, Closer, and Remember Me.
Yes.
Just a recommendation.
I think Remember Me probably is the one that got closest to sticking in my head. And
Remember Me is probably the strongest of their songs, at least to me. And this is my personal taste, too, coming through. But,
no,
yeah.
I think that's fair. I do want to go to you, Andrew. Where do you land on this one?
It definitely... as a person who grew up in Korea listening to a lot of these like summer songs, it definitely felt like another girl, like a K-pop summer song. It's like about like music videos about going to the pool, girls being cute, water guns are like prominently featured. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because that was the aesthetic they were going for and they really nailed it. But I also feel like it falls into the trap of like, but it's also like not really necessarily memorable. nothing about it was super interesting or awfully memorable about it, but I do feel like that's not necessarily a bad place to be because it kind of proves that they're a group to look out for. Everyone's been talking about Queendom, and I feel that Queendom is going to be a good, like, if people are starting to get interested in Oh My Girl with Queendom, they're doing a good job in maintaining that interest. Nothing they're doing from in this song makes me want to go like, it's just, you know, either boring or whatever. It's fine. It's a fine song. I'm definitely looking forward to the end of summer so girl groups can stop making summer songs. I'm really tired of summer songs because at some point they all just blend together.
And
just gets really samey. Yeah. I'm you know, unless your name is like Mamamoo or Red Velvet, like it seems that your summer songs all sound very similar.
Well, and it's so funny too, because I remember, I think it was on the June podcast, we were saying like, man, where are the summer songs? I was waiting for this. And then like July, and you know, a good chunk of August was just so. We went in the opposite direction. We swung too far. I'm ready for us to get into some.
We asked some other for songs. The summer songs. They just gave us what we asked for.
You know,
you rubbed this monkey's paw on your own.
Yeah, I only have myself to blame. I have to take accountability for the consequence.
You had it coming.
It's like that tweet of well, if it isn't the consequences of my actions. So that's where we're at. Definitely, if it sounds like a concept that works for you, I think check it out. If it's not, I don't think this is the song that's going to win you over to that concept, but I think we gave you some examples of some Oh My Girl stuff that might. And definitely, by the way, check out Queendom. It's real good. I just want to be on the record.
Check out Queendom
that.
and check out the screenshot I'm posting in the show notes from the Remember Me video, because I love the screenshot too much.
Oh my God.
It's very good. And I definitely.
And then I realized she just makes those faces all the time.
She's the one that has gotten my attention the most on the show, actually.
So he's great.
Hoyan about it, like, she's the funniest, by far the funniest member that has gone on the show so far. Her reactions are incredible. She's definitely built for variety.
Oh yeah.
No, it's great to see, you know, it's awesome when a group like that has those kinds of members gets that attention and gets to show it off, because it's definitely, I do think that helps them shine for sure. And it probably will help them stick in my memory a lot more than they have before this. So definitely something to watch. But we're gonna move on. Tonight by Jay Park and Kieran featuring Ugly Duck. If you have been following K-pop as closely as we do on this show, you've heard a lot of Jay Park singles over the last 2 months. I would say that there's been one almost every week that he's been featured on or produced, or, you know, his label has been producing songs, sometimes multiple in a week. It's been a very busy summer for Jay Park.
Does he want to steal Dean's title of I have collaborated with everyone?
It does feel like, you know, Jay Park's been on the record that he doesn't necessarily see himself as a K-pop artist so much as a Jay Park artist, in the way that we kind of talk about Soonmi Pop sometimes, which I'm not sure I necessarily agree, Jay Park. I want to be on the record on that. But before we delve into that, I want to hear from you here, Andrew. What did you think of tonight?
So off of the wagon of I'm sick and tired of summer songs, I think this is the kind of summer song that I'm a sucker for. And I am 100% hypocritical when I say this. This is the kind of like chill vibe, like nice to keep in the background, like, you know, hip hop song that I really, really, really like. I like how the music, the song, the lyrics isn't about like the usual stuff. It's just nice and mellow. It's about having fun. you know, even the music video is like, hey, we're just going to go out, drink and have a good time. And oh, there's some pretty girls, there's some funny guys, whatever. Like that kind of like really chill vibe was something that I really, really enjoyed. And, you know, I'm a novice when it comes to the Korean rap game. Like, I'm going to say that out, like, up front right now. I don't know a lot of the popular artists. I don't watch Show Me the Money every day. And it's a situation where this might be much more, quote unquote, mainstream than some of the more popular rap artists or the kind of songs that's popular in Korea right now. But this is definitely the kind of thing, like chill hip hop, that I really love to listen to. And I definitely appreciated how the lyrics were just, it's also super chill.
Yeah, I will say, I think you nailed it with the video. The video is the party that we all want to go to in the summer. Like, it just perfectly captures that vibe. And for me, this song comes, because again, Jay Park's been releasing so much stuff, and a good chunk of it has blended together for me. And then that sax, like, I think it's a sax. Forgive me for not knowing my brass instruments very well, but whenever that comes in, it just adds this element that stands out and makes it so much more musically interesting to me than even, you know, I think it standardly would be. But yeah, the vibe is what makes this song. Like, absolutely, I think that this is a mood song, is the way that I kind of describe it. And it's something that immediately is evocative of exactly that that kind of tone you described. Sneko, are you with us on this plan? Are you with us?
Yeah, I really like the song. Again, like Andrew had mentioned, I'm fairly new to the actual hip-hop and like rap releases that come out of Korea, but I really, really enjoyed this one. It's something I would definitely listen to just to relax or like have as background music. I do really also like that like brass line that they have. I also don't know if it's a saxophone or not. I do think the instrument they show as a prop is a clarinet, but I don't actually know what instrument they're playing in the music. But regardless, it sounds really nice. I really like it. The rap towards the second verse is really solid, and I really just, it's a good song. I don't have much else to say.
Yeah, I think we've kind of to hit the mark. It really is a song that I think speaks for itself, and if that's the kind of attitude you're into, it will click for you. It does all the things right you want it to get right, and this is Jay Park at his best for me. Like, this is what I want from Jay Park when he puts out songs, and I'm glad that of all the ones that he has put out recently, this seems to be the one that has caught on, and I think for good reason. I will say, if you're looking to learn more about Korean, I guess hip hop versus rap is always an interesting correlation. But "Gotta Say Day" by BY is still out there. Whenever you're ready to learn more about Korean rap, because oh my god, oh my god, that song.
I have been listening to that a lot since we did that podcast, because that was one I kind of forgot in the in-between, and I'm like, oh god, yes, holy shit. I did not give that song enough credit first time listening through.
Yeah, it's really good, you guys. That's the Shala Land episode, by the way. Go check that out the 2nd July. If you want to hear us gush about a song, man. That was, yeah. You know what, man? It's still funny. I'm glad you made that the title. Your title game's on point. I want to give you credit for that where it's due. I don't know if it's as good as Cannibalism's Great, just because out of context. Like, I don't even remember how in the world that came up. But we are going to move on to the song that I have wanted to talk about most, so much so that I made the GGWP pot let me talk about it, because
the song that you made me bleep you out several times because you kept talking about it
several times, actually, yeah. It could not be stopped, and I have no apologies, by the way, because I fucking love this song. This is Adios by Everglow. I am going to gush about it really hard, so I want to let everyone else go first so that I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. So I'm going to start with, I'm going to start with you, Andrew, because this was the one that you didn't mark, and we cheated, we changed the rules on you, because luckily with Zach power of the edit, I can't overrule him, but he can overrule all of us.
With my power of hypocrisy, my superpower,
you're goddamn,
we've decided to break the rules.
Coming through in the clutch. What did you think about this song, Andrew? Just quick thoughts here.
I think the song was a good song. Absolutely. It definitely hits all the right places for me. personally, when it comes to the kind of K-pop songs I enjoy, it's very powerful, very, you know, strong beats, you know, a neon aesthetic here and there. I think the reason why I didn't mark off and forced everyone to cheat is because I think I was, I'm still kind of drunk off of Icy.
Yeah.
And because I was so drunk off of Icy, you know, despite Everglow's this great song, like this is a great song by themselves, and it's amazing. It's just that, like, after listening to this, I was just like, I just want to listen to more Icy. You know, it was, I don't know what it was about this song that I couldn't really get, like, jump headfirst into. I'm sure if you ask me again, say like a week from now, after I'm less drunk off of Icy, I'd be like, yeah, no, this is an amazing song. I definitely see myself doing that. But that's my weak excuse for forcing everybody to cheat personally.
Look, I can't say I agree on this song, but I agree like on this particular situation, but I do know that situation. And I do think that sometimes the song can just stick with you. And Icy was very good. We went into it last month, and that was the song. Wasn't so convinced on Dala Dala, but I liked Icy.
If we had recorded that episode a week later, I would have spent another 10 minutes on Icy easily.
Easily, yeah.
I love that song more and more the more I listen to it. But this is not about Icy.
It's very good, but this is not the Icy podcast. Go check out the old episode. Link in the description.
Go check out Shalaland.
You're absolutely right. So I'm going to just let you go now, Zach. Where do you stand on Adios?
When I first listened to it, my thought was, it's fine. It's good. Like, I look at it, and I'm still not sure exactly where I place Bon Bon Chocolat and Adios relative to each other. I still think I give a slight advantage to Bon Bon Chocolat, but I don't know for sure. I could probably change from one thing to another. I mean, it's good. It's a really solid song. It's a solid follow-up to what they did before. In the fact that this show seems to be the phantom hanging over the podcast, I have to thank Queendom for introducing me to the video of Sixth Sense, since now I understand that salute that they do in the dance with the right arm straight out to the side. I'm like, okay, that's taken straight from there, if those aren't both references to somewhere else, but it looks exactly the same. I got, well, two more things on here. One was, this is one of those little things that bothers me, and I don't know why it does. The pre-chorus part, I think, chorus, pre-chorus, I'm not sure. They do the goodbye, au revoir, adios. I do not hear them saying au revoir in there. It does not, I cannot hear that. Even when I'm watching it with the captions, I hear them saying goodbye and adios. And it didn't bug me until I saw it with the captions on once.
So the au revoir, like, they just make the last syllable of au revoir into the first syllable of adios, mm-hmm. So they blend together, yeah, as one word. That's how they got away with it.
Yeah, it's one thing where it's
like... Yeah, you're right. I think most people I talk to think that that's what they hear the first time.
I hear goodbye and adios, and it didn't bother me until I saw the captions, and now I can't uncatch that. And also, I got a feeling from it, and I can't tell if it's the video or the sound of it, but there was a particular part, the scene I'm thinking of is like where they're dancing out in like the desert-ish, mm-hmm, area. They've got all the backup dancers, and it made me think of Side Effects.
I like this comparison.
I don't like something about it feels like that part of that song and that like part of that song and part of that video. And I'm like, maybe this is why Chase likes this one so much, because there's this subliminal reminder of this other song he gushed over forever in there.
Yeah, I mean, you made a comparison to a song I love. Not gonna fight back with you on that one.
I don't know if it's accurate or if I'm just off in my crazy world where I notice things that aren't there, but I get that feeling.
Like, songs with drops, I think of that way. Like, there's definitely a comparison in terms of like the structural side of it. The visuals, I'd have to go back and watch Side Effects again, but
I would love for the person on this podcast who actually knows music to tell me whether I'm what right or wrong.
Sneka, this seems like the perfect opportunity for you to share your thoughts on this whole Adios thing.
I have so many thoughts. I actually had to write notes about them. But first of all, this was a great song. I actually think out of all the songs that we've done so far, including this episode and last, this is probably my favorite. I do want to give props to Mia. I don't know all of the members just yet, but she stood out to me the most, and I have become a fan of her because of how solid her vocals and rap was in this song. And I really think Adios is the song that really like made every member stand out the most. Aisha as well had a really good rap tone when she was doing her part, very different from Mia's kind of like strong, like bratty kind of confidence. Aisha kind of had a more like traditional, like, you know, kind of like lazy rap style, which I really enjoyed. Yidan, like, she was pretty subpar. Like, she's never been a strong vocalist or anything, but her visuals fit very well into the song itself and the music video. So I do think the choice of on where they put her in the song was well fit, especially for how strong the vocals were all together. I think having her be the hook was the best kind of like wind down and then wind back into the chorus. I think they made a great choice with like the line division, the vocals. Mia starting the song off honestly is what sets the song. Like, it really dictates the tone of the entire song. Because Itzy's Icy played right after, and it tends to always play right after the song when I have autoplay on, I can't help but compare the two. I actually feel like Adios had just like, that's the strong like girl crush concept that I really wanted. Itzy's tends to do girl crush in a very JYP way, but Adios, Everglow, that was really like the traditional girl crush, like strong, like powerful thing I really was thirsting for. And I'm glad they did it. Compared to Bon Bon Chocolat, I actually didn't like Bon Bon Chocolat that much in terms of like a debut song. So I was really glad to have Adios be their next song, because Bon Bon Chocolat was one of those songs that made me excited to see what was next, and what I got next was really great. So I'm really happy about it. In terms of like the hook and stuff like that where Yidan sings, I actually really like that kind of blend of goodbye, au revoir, adios, because I know Chase brought it up earlier that the au revoir and adios are just one word kind of mixed together. I actually really like that little touch they did. And additionally, I like the background to that line where they go, what? And then they go, shh, you know, it kind of cues the next, it cues each repetition of that hook, because when they say shh, they actually quiet down and whisper it, and then it really serves to be really impactful when the chorus comes in. So overall, I really think this was a super, super solid song, and I'm also gushing over it, as you can tell. And just one other thing I wanted to bring up, the outfits. I love the outfits. I was really missing the girl group outfits where everyone dresses the same and has that kind of like uniform aesthetic that I really like. I really miss that. I know Girls' Generation used to do it a lot, especially during G and stuff like that. So I'm really glad to see like a girl group of this generation really stick to that. Yeah, I mean, those are all my thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that bringing someone on who knows what they're talking about is a bad idea, because it makes the rest of us all look bad.
Yeah, the standard's now been set. I now have to act like, oh man, research? Yeah, like, yeah. Notes? Oh man, this is great.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, knowing what you're talking about? We normally just kind of show up and blab.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with more with almost everything you just said. I am obsessed with this song. I am going to put it on. Right now, I've been like going through... I've made a playlist of all of the songs that have come out this year that at one point in time, I would say, dominated my life. Like, that was the song I was playing on repeat. And even among those songs, Adios is just, it absolutely blew me away. I think it's going to be, assuming it makes the end of the year charts, and please, for the love of God, make the end of the year charts. I think it will. I'm not too worried about that from what I've seen. This is a number one song of the year contender for me, 100%. This could take it, and I think you nailed it in terms of like every single member of Everglow has a moment in this song that just really goes to their strengths. Right, like, for sure. Mia obviously carries it in a lot of places, just really strong presence. I love the attitude there, but you also get like EU has that great rap verse in the second. That whole break is great, and I love the contrast with Aisha there, and I love Sion singing is still just so good. And this really did just take me aback. I was not ready for this to be as good as it was. I liked Bon Bon Chocolat a lot, and I appreciated that it was so different than a lot of the other songs that had come out at the time. It kind of stuck with me a little bit more for that reason. But this is the one that just, you know, they really establish here, like, they are a force to be reckoned with. They're not going away. They are confident. They are, you know, they have the right attitude to it. I think someone, I forget who it was, but I'm going to steal a take from somebody. It's nice to see someone else making Blackpink music since they won't, you know? Like, it's just really nice to have someone else making the things that I like about Blackpink the most during a time in which Blackpink just never makes enough music of their own.
Wait, Chase, when has Blackpink ever made a large amount of music?
You know what, man? That's uncalled for. It's unnecessary, and I don't appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I always thank our lovely editor, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, no, I... Yeah, this song is just...
Editor or asshole?
Yes. okay. That's actually a really fun game we should play sometime. Editor or asshole, just back and forth. With both for this and other shows. Like, not just you, like, in general. But all segue aside, I'm obsessed with this song. It is the most played song on my Spotify of the last month by a significant margin. I think this song made it a two-horse race between them and ITZY for a girl group debut of the year. And I think that it's, well, I think third is in a distant spot right
who's
now.
Who would even be your third place? Who's even the other ones you're thinking of?
Right now I have Bandit and Rocket Punch would be the next tier.
Yeah, those are, yeah, I'm like, those feel like a long distance there, and I'm trying to remember who else has debuted this year. I mean, with apologies to Cherry Bullet.
Yeah, sorry. It's so much meaner to Cherry Bullet than they deserve.
I feel like we've been kicking them so much recently.
They're fine.
In last month, you referred to somebody as Discount Cherry Bullet.
Yeah. Which... it's not great. But here's the thing. Like, any of those groups, even Cherry Bullet, like 2018, you would have put them in the conversation for girl group debut. Like, it
well,
was a,
you had Gerbil.
Yeah, I mean, and Idol was always going to win, but you, but you'd have to talk about it. Now it's like, yeah, the field is just so intense that a group like Bandit cannot find their way into the conversation with as much as I liked Dramatic says a lot. And it is to the credit of Everglow and ITZY rather than the detriment of anyone else. And I think if you're like Andrew and Icy blew you away, totally understandable. If you're like Deco and I, Adios blew you away, I think that's also fair. Yeah. I love that EDM drop. There's, I could rant about this song for a very long time.
Yeah.
ITZY has more of their girl crush idea. I always find that to be a weird word, but weird phrase, but sure. Theirs is more of a fuck you is their attitude in the videos, and I can see, you know, that being a thing that people don't want or don't like as much.
But see, like, they keep talking, I keep walking is one of the best lines in K-pop of the last 2 years. Like, that's just so
what I mean is they've got more of the, you know, they've got more of a fuck you attitude, and I'm gonna have to keep bleeping myself here, but you know what, it's like, that's a different feel. Everglow doesn't give off that feeling, so I can see why ITZY might rub some people the wrong way.
I feel the opposite. I don't know how you're referring to the FU in a positive or negative. Are you saying it like they're giving off that kind of attitude in their song, or are you just saying like F off haters?
Their song is more of fuck you, I'm awesome, just shut the fuck up.
Oh, got it. No, see, so then I disagree, because I think Adios has that vibe that I really like, where it's like a really strong, charismatic, powerful kind of traditional girl crush genre song. Whereas I love ITZY is Icy, by the way, just as a disclaimer. I love the song, but I feel like that's why I made that distinction between they have a JYP girl crush, so it's cool for JYP. I don't think they would be like contenders for like, say, well, no, that's incorrect. They would be contenders against like a group like Blackpink, but they would still be very distinct in the sense that you could still hear that kind of like fresh peppiness that JYP groups tend to have, which is why I really liked Adios, because it was a really traditional kind of like, I'm cool, I'm awesome, step aside for the queen, you know?
Right, as opposed to the fuck you sign that ITZY has. And also, I love how I have hijacked the song Chase's favorite recent song to talk about probably my favorite recent song, because I don't know. I'm a jerk.
I feel icy as much as I did Dala, though.
Well, okay. We can, I mean, we unfortunately, nope, we can't get too much deeper into the icy talk because we did do that last episode, last month. But I will say,
oh God,
I think we have to talk about it, though, because I do think that the two of them are both going. Yeah. They both have just a charisma beyond their experience.
They pair with each other well.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure.
And I think, like, I personally, in whatever it is, whether it's music, whether it's sports, esports, whatever it is, I love when there are two powerhouses fighting for that spot that will push each other to be better. Like, Itzy's going to see this and say, okay, what do we do now to top that? And I love that. Mm-hmm. I want that. I want them to fuel each other. I want them to get that creative energy off of each other to constantly feel like they're the best. And what do they need to do to become the best?
Oh, yeah. The best thing you can have is a good competitor.
So
you need somebody to push you.
So I think we all agree that the song is good. Whether you're on the Andrew camp of Itzy being the way you go, or whether you're with me on the Adios train, you know, check out for yourself and let us know in the comments. But definitely, you don't want to miss this one. Absolutely worth your time. We're going to move on, though, because unfortunately we have to. Forever Young by Giant Pink featuring Lamars. This song was not on my radar at all, but Giant Pink has been someone that's been climbing a little bit to me. And, you know, I do like K-rap, and I've been waiting for a female rapper, as you know, a soloist rapper, to really take the reins. And Giant Pink was a contender for that. And so I'm curious here. I want to start with you, Sneko. What did you think about the song?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, her voice is just, same as you, she wasn't really on my radar prior to this episode, but her voice is amazing. Her rap is solid. I really like how deep her tone seems to be. And it's a really, I don't know, I kind of get the same vibe that I had from the Jay Park song. It's kind of a mellow song that I'd like to listen to while I'm studying or doing something else. It's good. I don't know.
She's got good flow, and she knows how to use her voice almost like an instrument. It has that unique feel to it, and it does fit the vibe of the song in a way that it's almost like in between, like speak singing more than like a pure rap. I think it's to the song's strength for sure. I do want to hear from you, Andrew, though. Where do you think about Forever Young?
So I'm also firmly in the camp of the rapper, Forever Pink. Giant Pink, sorry, Forever Pink. I put the two together. Mistake. Yeah. This is my next tape. So I think Giant Pink's voice, I love her voice a lot, the same way I love Jessie's style of rapping a lot. Like, maybe not so much rapping as it is like sing talking that you mentioned earlier. It has a deep tone, it has good flow, and the song itself has a really chill vibe. And like I said earlier about Tonight by Jay Park, I really enjoyed the whole chill vibe to it. It was like a really nice song to just like bob your head to. The only negative I have is the feature, Lil Lamars. It's a situation where I'm like, oh my God, I love her voice, her flow. And then here comes this nasally auto-tune asshole.
Yeah.
To ruin the entire experience.
No.
Like, what does he add to the song? What is his purpose in the song?
He takes away from the song. That's my biggest problem. It's not that so much he doesn't add anything. It's that he actively takes away. Like, there's this mood and vibe set by Giant Pink, and here comes Lamars with his, like, weird Lil Pump, mumble rap, auto-tune stuff that I don't really get. And I'm like, come on, dude. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, the why is that he also competed on Show Me the Money. So they're both rappers that appeared on that show and I'm sure made some sort of connection there. But it's not necessary. He doesn't do anything different than what Giant Pink's already doing, right? Like, it's not like there's some contrast between the two styles where Giant Pink couldn't have done what he brings to the song.
No, look, I'm new to rapists, okay? I'm not really... you know, really well versed on Korean rapists. But all I can say is that she sounds great and he doesn't sound great. That's all. That's like the fundamental of my argument right now.
Yeah. And it's exactly the opposite of what happened with Tuesday is Better Than Monday, in which Giant Pink did a great job. And then you get Gary from Red Velvet to then amplify it. And the two of them played off each other so well. And you see that, and then you see this, and it's just like, why? Why though? Are you with us on that, Snecko? Are you all, or do you think we're being too harsh here?
Yeah, you know, when I listened to this with Andrew, he definitely said the same thing that he's saying right now. I didn't feel as strongly about it as he does. I do feel like while Giant Pink would bring that to the table naturally and he didn't really add anything to the song, I do also feel like had there not been a featured rap in there, it wouldn't have done enough to break the song up in terms of like adding enough variation in the line, like in the melody. So I do think he served as a good kind of like break from like the melody line and rap that Giant Pink was doing to then come back to like her again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's about the extent of what I feel in terms of him featuring in the song. I don't particularly hate or like his voice. He's just kind of there for me and he's kind of like a spacer for me to get back into Giant Pink.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from on that. And I do think that mixing it up is important, especially for any sort of rap song. You need something to contrast when it gets to the chorus. But I also think that she could have done something contrasting on the chorus.
For sure.
And it would have fulfilled the same function. And that's the thing, is like, if you're going to bring on the guest, you're either doing so because of clout, which from looking at the views on this video, I don't think Lee Lamar's was the one bringing in a whole bunch of people in the same way that I think Yeri did, or because they have some tangible skill there that you think the song is missing. And I don't feel like he did enough. The only thing I will say, I want to give him credit. The value add he brought was that shot of him trying to smoke a full cob of corn.
Yeah.
No idea what that was about. I don't even know like what the symbolism was trying to be. I can't.
Don't you smoke your cobs of corn?
Surprisingly.
Wow. I need to watch this video now because I didn't even watch this at all. I didn't have the chance to, but I think I need to watch it to see that alone.
I highly recommend. I'm trying to find the time. Yeah. Let's go to 156 in the video, maybe even a little bit before that to see the full setup. It's absolutely, that is the one thing I'm glad that he was in the video to do. Everything else I could leave. That's a good shot.
Rapist? How do you spell rapist? And answer very carefully.
With two P's. Two P's.
Okay, I would very hope important. So, but also I have never heard that before.
I appreciate the double rapist. Down. You were called out and immediately said it again, just undeterred.
Did you hear? I had to mute my microphone because I was laughing for a solid minute and a half over rapist.
It was very good, and I do appreciate you for it. God. But yeah, so I guess the consensus here, Jaya Pink does well. Check out the song and check her out as an artist. Maybe other songs. I still think Tuesday Is Better Than Monday is criminally underrated, but I also just love Yeri from Red Velvet a lot. And we'll get to her and that group in a bit. But first, we're going to do something that I never thought would happen on the K-Pop Shenanigans podcast. I don't know how to feel about it. Bulbagon 4, now going by Bull 4, has released a song. This was a Japanese single, To My Youth. Both Andrew and Snecko marked it, and as people lovely enough to come on as guests, I did not use the power of my veto here, so we're going to talk about Bulbagon 4. That's the world we live in now. Never thought this day would come. I feared this day would come, I guess is maybe a different question. Way of...
Chase, here's the question. Do we explain to our lovely guests why we have this reaction first? Or do we just kind of let them go and then eventually, then we can chime in?
I kind of want to let them go unspoiled here because this isn't, because spoiler alert, I don't think this is going the way that every other conversation we've had at this podcast about this duo has gone. So I want to give you guys the floor. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to disagree. I'm going to let the positivity reign here. Snecko, what do you think of the song?
So this is a Japanese release to something they've released prior, To My Youth, which is actually one of my favorite songs that they've released. I avidly listen to Bull 4. I really enjoy the vocalists main vocalist voice, I should say, since the guitarist also does the backing vocals. I just really like them. I also really like the lyrics to the song. It's a little bit bittersweet. It's supposed to be a song about kind of like a not so happy youth and how things were not so great and how things do eventually get better with time, but the fear of getting too happy because you might fall back into that, you know, time of pain. I know it sounds like super emo, like, but it's a really good pairing with the type of song they made for it. Yeah, I don't know. I really do like Bull Four as a duo. I'm actually really curious as to why you guys seem to actively hate them.
we will get there once you guys have had your opportunity to have your unsullied positivity.
Yeah, I want to let Andrew
at which
take
point
the floor
I will
next.
Be Captain Bring Down, as is my usual role.
As it was foretold in the scrolls, thus it is written.
Is it music related, or is it like some other?
We'll get there. We'll get there. We will get there.
We are trying so hard to let you guys be positive. Andrew, okay. Go for it.
Yeah, I'm also in the camp of I like their sound as musicians. I like the vocalist's style of singing. I also been on a huge sad song kick recently. So this really scratched that itch for me, whether it be in Korean or Japanese. Unrelated note, you know, it seems to have struck a chord with a lot of, well, I guess, you know, for lack of a better term, Japanese fans of Bull Four, because the comment section is inundated with people sharing their thoughts and feelings, their stories, and how this song kind of reminded them of those kind of times and stuff like that. And I think, you know, if any song can achieve that effect with your audience, I feel like that's definitely to their credit, because it really hit them where, you know, enough to elicit a positive emotional response. And I'm really into that. So, you know, given the fact that I always like Bull Four's sound, their dynamic, and their kind of music, I definitely thought this was one of my, you know, really nice, you know, good to listen to songs that they've released so far.
You know, I will say I think it is undeniable that this song and a lot of what Bulbagon 4 do resonates with that fan base so much. And you do have to give credit where it's due. And I would like to let you take over here, Zach, by all means.
Yep, because and here's the thing. I am the last person with the controversial opinions I have on a lot of these songs to shit on anyone for enjoying something, because I tend to enjoy a lot of things that other people don't. So I'm going to take you back to January of 2018. At this point, I had been spamming K-pop videos at Chase for a little while now, helping get him further indoctrinated into this world. And he had we'd kind of talked about and thrown around the idea of doing a podcast on it, this very podcast. Now, 2018 had a lot of issues with getting the podcast actually done, as may be evidenced by the fact that we produced a total of two episodes that entire year. Mm-hmm. I told you that to lead into this. The first thing we had with the idea was, hey, let's take the top 100 list. We took Mnet and Gaon charts and said, let's go through these and just listen to everything on these lists. So we did. We took the 2017 top songs and listened to all of them. And what I did not realize up until that point, because I had mostly been on the pop side of K-pop, was the Koreans' love for ballady songs. Mm. And that year happened to coincide the show Goblin.
Oh, Jesus.
And Bubblegum. So we spent, there were 120 songs combined between those two lists. The thing is, Bulbagon is undeniably talented. They are good. They are good at what they do. Just when you have like 25 of those songs combined are either Goblin or Bulbagon slow ballady songs, and that's in addition to the usual ballady slow songs that come up on that list. And, you know, like almost the entirety of Bulbagon's first album was on there. So are we being unfair to Bulbagon? Probably. We are probably being unfair to them because they do not appeal to us in particular. But the ever presence of them on that list. And there are some of their songs that I like. Travel is the first one that comes to mind. And there's another one from the 2017 album. I can't think of what it was where it's like, oh, this is actually pretty good. But for the most part, they tend to have the ballady sad songs. And that is not appealing to me. And that generally doesn't appeal to us here on the podcast. And so Bulbagon kind of has a, you know, you're going through the list and it's like, oh, let's see, let's listen to this. Oh, it's Bulbagon again.
Yeah. It's not It's not fair to them. It's not like they asked to have it's 10 not. Songs on the list for the no, same one no. album. Like it, and again, it's it was part of that year's problem, which was it was like 70% ballads and OSTs.
Oh
and
my
so
god!
And so Bulbagon, because they came up so frequently, were just became the face of the problem.
Right. They were the one of like you could pick on Goblin because every song from that soundtrack, every painstakingly slow moment of that soundtrack. My God, that soundtrack made me hate a Mamamoo song. Made me hate, actively hate a song Mamamoo was on. Whew, how do you do that?
Yeah.
And then Bubblegum was the other thing you could put a face to. So are we unfair to them? Yes, absolutely. It's unfair.
I thought it was something super serious, like they killed someone.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I was about to say, like,
No.
Was involved like, in, like, some kind of scandal? Like, Jesus.
They were responsible for the worst part of a project that was way too big. And that we spent, like, again, imagine listening to, like, 120 songs, like, in a row. Like, that was a 7-hour, like, 7-8-hour binge. And it just kept coming up. And it kept being
Bulbagon and Goblin.
Bulbagon and Goblin. And we will always
Bulbagoblin.
Yeah. And so if you listen to our very first episode, we had some very not nice things to say about
It's not the first one in the feed. It's the 2017 top like 120 or something is the title. But if you go back, I'll have a link in the show notes. But if you go to that, there was a lot of pain of us talking about these songs that were just like over and over. Of, you know, 70% of these 100 plus songs are ballads, and Bulbagon was the most representative of them. So they became the face of everything we hated.
Yeah, and I will say, like, this is why I'm really glad that both of you were on and why we did talk about this, because I don't think we do a very good job of highlighting ballads in general. Usually, we usually have, like, maybe an episode, and it's usually one that in some way is an exception to the rule.
Hyolyn's song. You Know Better by Hyolyn.
Yeah.
Or that song by Sori and Folded Dragons from last month, kind of ballady.
But, like, it has to be, like, our ballads still, like, those are two songs that have a lot of power behind them and are a little bit more fast-paced. Like, that's just the bias that we have as our, you know, as the general hosts of the show. And so when it's a genre that we don't tend to lean towards, and it was as pervasive as it was.
Yeah,
everything was playing against him.
I totally get it.
And it does not mean this is fair.
No, like we are completely unfair. I mean, yeah, we kicked them because they had it. I do it. You know, it's more affectionate kicking, I guess, at this point now of just like, oh, haha, Bubblegum. Group that we find to be I didn't listen to this one because I had time crunch, but I usually will listen to their new songs because most of them aren't something I like, but every now and then they have something. But it's just that giant list.
No, I get it. I mean, okay, I have a confession to make. When you guys sent the list over, I initially obviously thought I was only supposed to pick songs I knew. So when I was told I had to listen to all of them, immediately a sense of dread came over me because I am not a big proponent of boy groups at all. I think Chase knows this from last time we hung out. I'm not usually into boy groups because they tend to sound really samey for me. And the vibe they usually go for is not one I like. So I totally understand. Not to say that they're bad or anything. It's totally just a biased, you know, reaction on my part. But, you know, exposing myself to the boy group songs that I did, they were fine. It's just more of an internal thing. I was just like, boy groups.
And meanwhile, if Shay were here, he would find that heartbreaking. And so that's the kind of thing of like, always going to have different tastes. And I think it's awesome when you can highlight a different angle of it. Definitely, if you like ballads, use this. This one time we will talk about Bulbagon 4 on this podcast as your litmus test of if you like that kind of music. They seem to be doing it as well as just about anybody out there.
For sure. They're such a solid group. Just
every
musically.
Single monthly recap. We're talking about Bulb 4 today.
Oh god.
Well, if we go just back musically, like they're a really solid group and they're one of when it comes to like solo or like duos, just like live performers in general, like they can be, you know, hit or miss. Like it goes back to what I was saying in the previous episode where like Somi, I think, is a great recording artist, but not necessarily a great performer. Some stuff doesn't tend to translate very well. But in the case of Bull 4, when they perform live, it's almost better sometimes than their recordings, because the main vocalist has a really unique voice. First of all, she's also an extremely powerful singer, and she has a lot of control and technique behind her voice. And it's always a joy to listen to the guitarist as well, because she's very, very talented. And she also writes the songs. She does the harmonies and she does the rap. So I just think them as a duo, honestly, is like a match made in heaven. I know I'm kind of gushing about them, but Bull 4 is one of those groups that I tend to go back to often when I feel kind of like my well of K-pop has dried up and I'm no longer like particularly interested in something. I'll just go back to my Bull 4 playlist and I'll just listen to that again. It's good songs to have playing in the background. Although they tend to stick to the same kind of genre of like ballads and the like, they do have a lot of pop hits in there as well. I know Travel was mentioned. That's one of my favorite songs as well.
Yeah.
But this song in particular, To My Youth, is one of my favorite ballads that they've done. And I think it really highlights the vocalist's kind of like emotional ability when she sings.
I mean, that's fair. Is there anything?
I'm glad we got people on who could talk about this, because, you know, honestly, we're not gonna give them much on their own. And I mean, honestly, you know, it's like, okay, at this point, can we find somebody who would say positive things about Yoon Jong-shin? If you don't know who he is, then okay, you know what? I don't necessarily blame you, but I'm like, I feel like that's the next challenge. Find somebody who unironically likes that guy, and we can pick their brains about why.
Well, I mean, like, as a Korean, you know, I mean, I lived more in the U.S. than I did in Korea at this point. But still, growing up, ballads were a huge part of pop culture. Yeah. Even like some rock bands would dip their toes into ballads, because that was kind of like a song genre that resonated with a lot of people. And I definitely get the over, like, being burnt out by listening to so many different ballad songs. The Goblin thing was a really good example of me also going like, oh, God, like, not this song again. You know, it was definitely a good song by itself. It's fine. But once you like listen to it 15,000 times, it just gets tiring after a while. And everything that sounds like it starts getting tiring at the same time. I don't know. I honestly don't know why ballads have such a hard cultural impact on Korean music listeners specifically, because that's always been the case.
We speculated that the entire country needs a hug.
I mean, that you wouldn't be too far from the mark. I would say so, because it's not, I can't even just go, oh yeah, Korea has a really, you know, older age-wise population that enjoys ballads, because the younger generation people love ballads. They do. They love ballads. They love listening to those like slow, sad, or maybe sometimes feel good songs. And I can never for the life of me understand why. And I fall in the exact same pattern as well. I love me a good ballad. So it's weird. It's weird. I don't know why.
When it clicks, it clicks. Everyone's always gonna have their preferences on genre. I'm glad that we got some Bulbagon 4 praise on here. Those of you who are fans, appreciate it while it lasts. Those of you who are more like our...
We'll go back to our usual kicking their next single.
Well, I mean, knowing us now, I mean, I think there are bigger offenders out there now. I think our villains are... I think my hatred for Bulbagon 4 has definitely waned over the years as more time has passed. My hatred of Goblin and OSTs in general, not so much. Oh, that is... Like, OSTs flooding every year. That's one I really want to just sit down and talk with Korea. Like, okay.
I think I said on one podcast that if there was a law in Korea against having a good OST, you wouldn't know.
So that's... Very fair. We're gonna move on before we make more people mad at us. We almost did a good thing at winning people back, Zach, and then we immediately just undercut it. So we're gonna move on.
You're welcome.
What
can I say except you're welcome? We're gonna do a little bit of time travel here.
Okay.
We got someone chiming in on ballads, a person who shall not be named.
By all means, go ahead and share the point.
Yeah. The point to kind of get to is, and I'm not going to read this verbatim, I'm going to sum up, is that the issue, and I kind of agree with this myself, the big difficulty here with the Korean ballads is not understanding the words. If you understand the language, ballads have, you know, because ballads are a lot about what you're singing. And if you don't understand the words, then you're going to have, you know, you're not going to be able to connect with it in the same way. And Korean ballads, the ones that come up on these lists so much in particular, the singing and the lyrics take such a front seat compared to the instrumentation and everything in the back seat, that when you can't understand what's being said, you can't really connect with it or have something to cling to the way you could if it was, you know, in English or just generally in a language that you understand. That's one reason why they're hard to really attach to.
Yeah, for sure. I can definitely see that.
I can see that argument. Yeah, it makes sense.
Tiki Taka by Weki Meki. God, Weki Meki, excuse me. God, we just did this. I made a whole thing about how Picky will make sure I'll never mispronounce their name, and then I did it because I'm worse than Space Chimps too. Weki Meki, Tiki Taka. Interesting song. I don't know what I was expecting from them after Picky. I don't know that it was this, but I'm not against it certainly by any means. I want to start with you here, Zach. What were your thoughts on Weki Meki's latest single?
I was not expecting this one so quickly. My guess is it's like a repackaged single. I didn't look enough into it to know for sure. This is one, it does a little bit edge into what we've been saying about, wow, there are a lot of summer songs. We asked for the f***ing summer songs and they gave us the summer songs. It's not necessarily a bad thing because it's a good one. It's a solid song. I still like Picky more than this one, but it's pretty good. And like, I'm just looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, can they finally be the post IOI group that really breaks through in a way? And I'm not counting Chungha because, you know, soloist different from groups and everything, but I'm just like, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, can all of this, you know, can all of this from IOI, the fact that, you know, so many groups are made up of former members of there, is this the one where it might finally pay off? And we get somebody who is a big success out of it. I'm hoping so. And the fact that they put out Picky, pretty good song. I don't know exactly how successful it was. They put this right afterwards. I'm like, just keep this momentum, please.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're getting more attention. I think that of the two songs, at least from what I can tell, I think Picky caught on a little bit more. But as you said, like, we're getting a summer song towards when summer songs are falling out of fashion just by the end, you know, mid to end of August. So maybe the timing wasn't necessarily ideal. But I think that they bring a lot. I think the everything we said last time about how hard they go in their videos and how much they commit to whatever concept they're on is still very true. They just look like they're having so much fun doing everything that they do, and that's contagious. I don't know what's up with the end of this video. I song is great, the video is fun, but there's like a 15 second like post credit scene almost, and I don't like there's a sound thing going on, and they find it underneath the table, and every like half of them are covering their ears, the other half are like, it's not making any noise at all, and they're freaking out, and they like pause weirdly, like it's kind of surreal. It's a surreal 30 seconds at the end of the song. Enjoyable. I was waiting, like, so this is like a plot thread, because I don't remember this being a thread in Picky. Maybe I'm wrong and someone can correct me. It was just, I was very surprised by all of that, but it sure is memorable, especially the face at the end. I think that's one you might want to screen cap as well here, Zach. But I want to hear from our lovely guests here. Andrew, what were your thoughts on this one?
I feel like Tiki Taka was an earworm for me personally. Definitely a case of the, oh yes, yet another summer song. But it was fun enough for me to listen to. And for some reason, the chorus could not leave my head for a good amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost engineered. The Tiki Taka, the repetition in that is wonderful. And in, yeah, that it's a group called Weki Meki. Tiki Taka by, yeah, Weki Meki. I mean, that's just, it's fun to say.
Yeah, I think it was basically genetic, like engineered to become an earworm, and it succeeded in that regard. It's definitely a song that I kind of empty-mindedly find myself humming, or like, you know, just kind of like chittering to. It's Weki Meki. I'm not incredibly familiar with all of their songs, but so far their songs have been like okay for me. There was the one that was really good. I think was it Crush? I think.
Darker one set in a warehouse.
That's Crush. That was one of the songs where I really like, okay, so I really got to pay attention to this group, because that was a really good song in my opinion. But and Tiki Taka was definitely a little bit more, oh yes, a little bit more to form, a little bit more what I expect them to do, but they still achieve the ultimate goal of like, it, I can't forget about it. It's good, it sticks in there, and it's a fine summer song. Just add it to the pile.
Add it to the pile seems seems fair. Are you in agreement, Sneko? Is this a consensus we're building here?
Yeah, I love this song. It's I think where I differ is that I don't like picky, so I'm coming picky. So I'm coming kind of like from a different perspective. I also liked Crush a lot as a Weeki Meeki song. And those are the type of songs that really put Weeki Meeki on the radar for me. Obviously, post IOI, I followed all the groups just to kind of like keep updated with them. And I thought Persin and Weeki Meeki were the strongest. Obviously, Persin had more popularity, but that ended, you know, miserably. Weeki Meeki has always been the group that I thought was the best in terms of like vocal skill, like dance skill, concept, and the songs that they produce for them. Unfortunately, obviously, they don't have as much traction on them as like Pristin did. But Yujung is really good at what she does. She's a great vocalist. She's a great rapper. She's a great dancer. I'm always thoroughly pleased by the song choices they pick for them, because they always highlight all of the members' strengths in the song. And Yujung especially, she does a great job of really carrying her parts. As usual, she's a very reliable member.
Oh, and I always have to stress, find Yujung on any of the variety shows. She is great.
Yeah.
She is incredible on those.
She's a great member. She's a great all-rounder. She's very strong at rap and vocal. And it's crazy because she's got such a cute image about her. But when she raps, it's like she turns into another person. So I really like this type of fresh summer song. I know we've had a lot of summer songs, but this was honestly one of my favorites. I thought it did come a little late. I remember saying that when it first came out, but I thought it was a good, like, you know, end of summer, kind of closing it up, wrapping up the party song. I thought this was a great song that to come after a song like Crush. I didn't like Picky Picky at all, so I was really glad that this song kind of picked it back up for me in terms of like the songs that I like for Weeki Meeki. Yeah, I don't know, everyone just did such a good job, and it's slowly but surely becoming less of a Yujung and Doyeon plus the girls, you know what I mean?
Yes, I feel like they started that a little more in Picky Picky, but yeah, it did feel a lot like it was the two of them, oh, and some backup dancers or some other people or some shit, and they've been spreading it around a lot more.
Yeah, I'm heartbroken that there's a person out there who did love Picky Picky, given how much I loved it, but I get where you're coming from on it. I think Tiki Taka definitely is a fun song with a lot to like, and if this is more of what you like from them, I can totally understand why this might be the song that someone might lean towards. It's all going to be a preference of what part of them you prefer. But regardless of the song,
like, a lot of people like Picky Picky. It's interesting because all of the friends that I've spoken to tend to like Picky Picky the most so far of the releases. So I'm always kind of like the outlier of like not liking Picky Picky.
Well, I can say I think it was their most successful hit in quite a while. It definitely seemed to capture people in a slightly different way. Unfortunately, I don't think either of these songs charted high enough that we're going to be able to put it on an end of the year kind of review. But I think that for what they are and what they've, you know, they're working towards kind of their spot within the scene. I just think that they're so fun, and they just commit to all of these concepts. They're just fun to watch. I just enjoy that they go as hard as they do with whatever it is that they put their mind to, and that they just look like they are having an absolute blast.
Agreed.
And I think that there's a lot of value there. But we have one more song we need to talk about before we can wrap this up. And that would be Oompa Oompa by Red Velvet. As we kind of hinted, I believe it was last episode, there is a large gap in how the two people who were on the Zimzalabim podcast felt about Zimzalabim. I imagine that the gap on our Oompa Oompa thoughts will be much smaller. I am going to save you for last, Zach, because everyone who has listened to the pod before knows that you are a very big Red Velvet fan.
Good, I don't have to bleep you.
Haha. I want to start here then with Andrew. What are your thoughts on Oompa Oompa?
Oompa Oompa is definitely one of those songs where on the list where I was like, do I really need to bother talking about it? Because it's one of those things where, like, it's a Red Velvet song. Of course it's going to be good. Like, duh. It's there's no, like, it's just for me, Red Velvet songs have been like a collection of, like, they're all good songs. It's just a question of how good they are in what different ways. Case in point, this is very clearly a summer song. The music video, the feeling, very clearly a summer song, but it doesn't fall into the same categories or traps as other summer songs, in my opinion. I feel like it's obviously the chorus needs to be a little summery, I think, because that's just how summer songs are in K-pop. But I think the rest of the song is like just overall just like fun to listen to. I think it's definitely another showcase of the range that Red Velvet has, just the sheer range they have in terms of what kind of songs they can digest, they can produce, and still sound great, you know, record after record. So it's one of the situations where, like, yeah, you know, birds fly, grass grows, sun shines, and Red Velvet makes good songs. It's just one of those things.
This definitely reminded me more of the Red flavor side of their stuff, and for a lot of good reasons. I think there are a lot of allusions to songs and music videos from that album within the video for this that were really nice callbacks. I think this was, I don't want to say fan service because fan service has a negative connotation, but like the good kind of fan service, yeah, where it rewards people who have been their passionate fans for as long as they have. I can see already, you know, we have a chat while all of this is going on, and Sneko, you have a lot of thoughts about Red Velvet, so I'm gonna let you just dive right into it.
So first off, I just want to preface this by saying I love the song, and I just it was a good song. I loved it a lot. It was a good comeback from Zimzalabim. I'll let the audience, you know, interpret what I said in their favor. But yeah, no, it was a good song. I love that, like, the background chant of like oompa ba oompa ba. You know, it's like it like really ties the hook very carefully. And I felt like, I don't know why, and I don't know if it's correct, but I felt like there was like some little like country element to this. I don't know. It just gave me like a specific vibe, and I really enjoyed it. But aside from that, Red Velvet as a group, I have had a consistent problem with them. I love all their songs, and I find myself like consistently listening to them. But a part of me feels like that is largely due to the fact that I can hear effects in them very strongly.
Oh god, here we go. Okay, I'm gonna mute myself.
I'll try not to delve too deeply into that, but I know that this is one of those songs where I could definitely hear kind of like what FX could have been doing, you know what I mean? And it is what they were known for doing, kind of these like weird, more, you know, unique melodic kind of lines and stuff like that. I know that a lot of the songs Red Velvet has had were previously FX songs that were, I guess, taken away or did not get to make it officially, which happens sometimes in K-pop. So it's a little conflicting for me because as a person who grew up on FX but is transitioning now to Red Velvet, partly by force because FX doesn't exist anymore, it's a little interesting because sometimes when I listen, I find that I could hear all of the FX members in it, in the sense of like, I can't hear much variety from what their predecessors did. I do, however, feel like Red Velvet is definitely coming into their own, and a lot of it is just my personal bias. But I do feel like some songs, there's just points where I can't unhear what, like, Luna would have been singing, what Amber would have been rapping, what Victoria would have been singing, what Crystal would have been singing, even Sully, like, if we go further back. But yeah, this song in isolation was a great song. I thought it was one of the better summer songs as well. I also appreciated that it was a summer song and a like unique concept. I appreciated the visuals of the song as well, the music video. And the outfits are a really, really nice touch. I really appreciate when groups either do uniforms or do like image colors. And one other thing that I wanted to bring up, you mentioned it, Chase, the fan service in the music video as a callback to their previous songs. I really did appreciate that. I know Joy does like a little rap where she brings up like all of the singles past titles, all of their previous titles to their singles, like their hits. I thought that was a really nice touch that they did. And something I did really also appreciate is Joy belting out that high note. I don't think Joy really gets that many times to kind of like belt, especially not with Wendy and Seulgi there. Yeah.
When you've got Wendy, it's hard to give anyone else the belting notes.
Exactly. And I totally understand why that is the way it is. But I'm really happy Joy got that part because her nasally voice really fits that part specifically. I really like Joy's voice. I know Andrew hears me gush about her a lot, but she has a really nice kind of like nasally cutesy, but also like kind of cutie sexy voice that I really enjoy in a singer. And anytime I hear Joy sing anything that's like outside of her norm is really great for me. Yeah, this song was great. It's just, I guess it's just hard to differentiate them from what FX was doing 5 years ago. But I do think Red Velvet has developed their own color separate from them and SM. They're just kind of, you know, their own thing. It's just, you know, personal bias.
Funny thing is, I feel like I've heard this before, because if you replace FX with 21 and Red Velvet with Blackpink, you have Shay's thoughts.
Yep. I was going to say, I've heard this argument before. And to be fair, I get it. I always come down on the opinion of, like, you know, FX isn't making more music right now. So if I have to get that content somewhere, I sure as heck am glad that Red Velvet is giving it to me. In the same way that, like, I understand people who like 21. Blackpink can do a lot of what was great about that group. And that's okay. Like, you don't... I think that sometimes we almost overemphasize originality to a certain extent.
Yes. Like
it's good and it stands out and it's important when it works, but innovating for the sake of innovation is just as kind of a mistake as anything done.
Are you going to say what I think you are?
What do you think I'm going to
say? I thought you were going to kick Zimzalabim with that one.
Zimzalabim can kick itself as far as I'm concerned. Okay. I think everything I have to say about Zimzalabim, I said
has been
last
said.
Episode, yeah. And I don't feel like being mean, especially because the more that people knocked that song, the more successful it got, because every Red Velvet fan took it very personally that people were saying mean things about their favorite group and then immediately made it one of the most popular songs they've ever made. So I'm not going to do it anymore. I don't want to accidentally will it into that hyper popularity beyond what it already has.
That's actually a great example of what I was talking about, though, because I did not in particularly like Zimzalabim, but when I heard it with the ears of somebody who was listening to FX, it suddenly changed. Now I could suddenly hear, oh, this is something FX would have done 5 years ago. So that's kind of what I was talking about. There are instances where I feel like Red Velvet doesn't really do anything to differentiate themselves from that. But Oompa Oompa was a great song that really kind of brought their personal color to the table.
So it's finally time, Zach. I'm going to let you off the out of the dungeon here so you can talk about your...
What are you suddenly showing your YG colors?
Dude, come on. What have I done to you to deserve this? You mods? How many slams? There's not even a YG artist in the show. No, it doesn't matter. Go for it, man. Pop off on Red Velvet. It's time.
Oh, God. Oh. So, what on earth was I even going? Okay. Well, the one other, I do have one other response to the FX thing first, in that because I started listening to K-pop in the middle of 2016, and I generally don't do a ton of listening to groups that are inactive, I don't know why that is, it's just a thing. I'm not as familiar with FX as I probably should be, so the entirety of that falls in my mind under, you probably have a good point. I don't know if you have a good point or not, I don't know them well enough to hear it. To get onto the song itself, this feels like a song that Red Velvet didn't release in summer of 2016. I got a lot of feeling of around Sappy, their Japanese single earlier this year, felt like that as well, where it was like, okay, this feels like Red Velvet of about 2015, 2016, Dum Dum, Russian Roulette, and the like. And it's good. It's a Red Velvet song. They're doing a summer song. It doesn't feel quite like all the other summer songs we've said a lot and complained about before. It's good. Now, for the part that everyone is going to love. I know everyone loved this because they felt like, oh, thank you, after Zimzalabim, I have a song I actually like from Red Velvet. I do prefer that one because I prefer something ambitious, even if it just barely works, as opposed to, this feels safe for a Red Velvet song. It feels safe and they did it well. And I'm like, okay, you did exactly what I expected of you. For other people, that's exactly what they wanted after Zimzalabim. For me, I'm kind of like, okay, you did exactly what you did before. I kind of was interested in seeing if you would do more weird stuff. And then I wonder, for how many people watching this video, and I don't just mean us, I just mean in general, the scene where they're like, where Seulgi's going out on the roof to try and fix the antenna on the TV, to how many people is that a completely foreign experience they only know from seeing TV shows or older things referencing that?
Oh, God.
You know, for how many people is that there? And I've also, is it just me or does Red Velvet seem to be not really like doing these, they don't quite have like their usual rap breaks in a lot of these songs, in their recent songs. They seem to be doing like, it's kind of like almost this, half spoken, half sung, not quite rap break in the song. And I've noticed that in a few of theirs recently. And I'm like, am I imagining things or are they doing something slightly different here? I don't know. Just the stray observation I noticed. So it's a good Red Velvet song. I don't know what else you expect.
I will say it's kind of interesting to me because I know, again, going back, since we're taking that trip down memory lane to the 2017 list, I'm pretty sure you had two Red Velvet songs in your top 10.
No, I didn't, because we limited it to one per group. I had Red Flavor tied with Likey by Twice at number one. I could have put more Red Velvet songs in there. And yeah, I
would have put more Red Velvet
songs in
there. The fact, like, this seems more in line with the thing that you loved back then. So yeah. I just assumed this would be a slam dunk, instant, like, big win. And it sounds like you like it, but still, it didn't surpass Zimzella Bimbo.
It's a weird thing of, well, okay, I'm going to go down a weird rabbit hole. I don't know if this argument is fully prepared, but God help me, I'm going to make it anyway. I've had the thought for a while that when Red Velvet put out Bad Boy, that song and the reception it got may not have been the best thing for them. It was their biggest hit. Yes, absolutely. But then people started wanting more of that from them. I feel like that was a general feeling I got, and that a lot of people have viewed their songs since then as lacking. And I feel like that's because they had a certain thing in Bad Boy that they liked and that they wanted, and that then they're knocking something not for how good it is, but how much it fits this new idea of what they want to have. And I feel like I'm walking smack into that same exact problem myself, where it's like, oh, I saw this thing. You did this thing. And, you know, I want more weird, all over the place, wacky, like, what genre is your song? Yes. You know, I want more of that. And so I guess the context is different, I guess. Is it fair? No, it's not. It's like when we kick Bubblegum all the time. Is it fair? No, this is not. But that's just where my brain is at the moment on this.
No, I think I'm glad that Zim's album clicked with you as much as it has, because you enjoy the song enough for everyone else who was on that episode of the podcast. It's definitely going to be interesting to see exactly how far Oompa Oompa gets. I haven't been paying attention to how it charted. I will say that for me, I think I would like this song more had it not been released the same day as Adios by Everglow. Like, that was just really bad timing for me personally, because I immediately listened to both, and I was like, okay, Oompa Oompa's good. Adios, though. And I found it very hard to go back. But it is a good song. You should definitely check it out. It's time for our closing segment here. It's the 60 seconds for Andrew and Sneko and anyone who hasn't listen to our podcast before. We give everyone 60 seconds to talk about whatever else they want to talk about from this past month that would not have otherwise made the list. Maybe a song that got cut because not everyone marked it, or some at least tangential thing. We've really opened up the rules for this, but everyone gets 60 seconds. I've got my timer out, and we're going to just go in alphabetical order because it's easy. So, Andrew, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You can start in 3, 2, 1, go.
Everybody should watch Queendom. And if you don't watch Queendom, you should at least listen to the album that came out. They're both on Apple Music and on YouTube, the whole full thing. So just listen to it. Their songs are great. If you like some of the older veterans of the industry, like AOA and Mamamoo and whatnot, you'll have something for you. If you like the newer ones, like Idol and Oh My Girl and Lovely, something for you. Everyone should watch it. It's a lot more enjoyable than the other competition shows I've watched so far. And so far, it's been a huge blast to watch everyone interact with one another. That's it.
Okay. 25 seconds left on the clock, but a good recommendation. I'm in on Queendom as well, and I think someone else will be using their 60 seconds to talk about some Queendom things. But first, I get my 60 seconds, and I'm going to start that clock now. Turns out Sunmi's really good, you guys. La 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 came out, and while I'm not sure that it's as good as Noir, it hasn't gripped me quite the same way. It's more Sunmi. Every video with her is an experience, and one that I think definitely clicked for me overall, and that chorus is just so catchy. And Flying's Doll, they continue to make really good stuff, and I understand they're never going to be as popular as when they somehow managed to get into the charts 3 months after the song came out when they got there in January, but they're still worth your time and attention, and they should be known for more than just that one song. Algorithm by Midnight. Hey, look, Midnight might be a group now. After two songs that were really like, what in the world are you doing? They finally come up with a list that I think at least makes sense, and I'm interested to see what comes next. Art Gang Money is the song that I would over every other thing that came out this month and didn't make our list here. I love this song. It's weird, it's out there, and I highly recommend it if you like more experimental rap stuff. I may have gone a second over on that for those of you who are timing at home. My apologies, but you know what? I'm the host. You can't stop me. Sneko.
Be careful how you use that power.
Nah, it'll be fine.
All right.
So Sneko, it's your up. Are you ready for your 60 seconds?
Yes.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Queendom as well. AOA's Egotistic was amazing. I know this will probably be covered in a future episode, but if you haven't listened to it, or even better, haven't watched it, please do yourself a favor and get on it. It is really likely to be overshadowed by Oh My Girl's cover of Destiny, but I think AOA did an amazing job of transforming a song by a group that is normally difficult to top and transforming it into their own. They do not have the vocals to really match Mamamoo's power and charisma in the same way that they are known for, but they managed to turn that song into a unique song that sounds like it was meant to be sung by AOA. On another note, as a shameless plug, I do cover English, Spanish, Japanese, and lately Korean covers on my YouTube channel. So if you have time, please check me out at Snekoko on YouTube or anywhere else. Thank you.
There you go. You got the plug in before we got to the plug section at the end. I don't think we haven't had a guest clever enough to do that yet. I respect the hustle. Well done. This, of course, means that we're left with you, Zach. You get to close us out. Are you ready?
Let's see. I think I may have a slight opening statement for the lightning round. Yes, I have that.
Great.
There have been many good reasons why I've been in the last couple episodes I've been not as involved and not as active in talking about all of the songs. There are many good reasons. I'm about to talk about one of the bad ones. So whenever you're ready, let me know when to start.
Oh, I thought you just started. I'd already gotten the timer. That seemed like a good intro.
That was my opening statement.
3, 2, 1, go.
So this is going to break the lightning round format completely because it is music, but there is no one Korean involved in this. But I have been so absorbed recently in the world of Japanese metal. Of course, I've been accused before of knowing Japanese music, but now I'm starting to feel like I'm getting there. It started with Baby Metal. You know, everyone knows who they are by this point, at least I think, I hope they do. And I put one of their songs on and it randomly went to another group called Mary's Blood. And now I am surrounded by female Japanese metal bands. I did not realize there was a thing called the metal girl band group, or girl metal band group. I don't remember. I don't know. But I've been a metalhead before, and it's not the mix of pop and metal that something like Baby Metal is, but I have just been absolutely absorbed in this world for a while now. And yes, that has meant I have not been listening to as much K-pop recently. But you know what? At this point, I think I'm willing to make the trade. And yes, I have just now completely broken the way that the lightning round works. We have given up all semblance of this being a thing that makes any sense in the context of the podcast. You know, everyone else has tried to at least be relevant, and then there's me. Sometimes, I don't know, you just need somebody like me to show up and do something like that.
So the bad news is that with that aside, you definitely went over. But the good news is you basically just took the 25 seconds Andrew left on the table. So it works out.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm usually watching the clock. I stopped watching the clock entirely. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep going because even if you stop me, I can edit you out.
You know, harsh but fair. welcome to the power of the edit. But thank you so much for that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, like, share, subscribe, all that fun stuff. It all really does help. The algorithms are a crazy thing, but every little bit really helps us there. In the same way, I'd like to thank Anchor FM for sponsoring the show. Anchor FM is so good if you want to make your own podcast. It just, it makes it so easy. You just upload the things and you can hit the buttons to get it everywhere where you want it to go. I cannot stress enough how much easier this is than any system I've used in the past. So I highly recommend it if this is a project that you enjoy and do in your own world or have always thought about doing. It's so easy and simple. Highly recommend it. Of course, we also have now added a support this podcast button on Anchor FM. If you believe that this show has added enough value to your world that you want to throw some financial value behind it as well, we certainly appreciate it. You know, with all the hard work that Zach does editing this show and everything, showing him some love is very much appreciated.
If you go to anchor.fm/kpopshenanigans, it's the middle button on the page right below the podcast description.
Yes. There also is an option to send a voice message. And if you do that, we will play it.
Oh, and actually, if I'm going to promise something that I may end up regretting in the future, but you know what? Let's go with it. If you do support the podcast, if you throw some money our way, we will read off your name on the podcast.
Yeah. Look, if you want us to plug a thing, you want to get your plug in there the way that Sneko got hers in there, this is your opportunity. Send in that voicemail. We will do the thing. Mm-hmm. But I do want to let everyone plug their stuff on their way out. Sneka, you want to just start since you already got your plug halfway in there?
Yes. As I mentioned, you can find me on YouTube, Twitter, or Instagram at SnekoKo, SnekoKo. I do music, original covers. I also draw, and I also make emojis and icons and the like and emotes. And as of late, I just customized my Nintendo 64. So that's the stuff that you can expect from me. I just do everything.
Nice. And all of these links, of course, as well as our Twitter profiles, that's all in the description below. Andrew, where can the nice people at home find you?
They can find me at Twitter at Korean_Mulan. I'm not as active as I used to be when I was still working in esports and whatnot, but I'm still as active as I can try to be while I'm at work and while I'm at home. I still do some, you know, basic translations for some news or internet the interviews that I find interesting. And I also do small translation jobs pro bono. So if anyone has like some small amounts of work that they want to know, like a lyric or a poem or like an article, and you want a TLDR version of it, you can always message me on Twitter and I'll be able to help you out as soon as I can. Obviously, since being an adult means there are things that will draw me away from things that I actually want to do. So I hope everyone understands.
Well, shout out to you for doing it all. Pro bono anything is a very kind treasure that everyone should appreciate regardless
like
of timing.
Like this podcast.
Like this podcast. Exactly right.
That's why we're asking for money.
And where can people find our lovely podcast editor all around?
You can find me for the usual Twittery bullshit at Rambly Badger. And when I actually finish a video, which who knows when that might be, you'll find it at Ravenous Badger. And other than that, you can find me in Adobe Audition and moving into a new apartment.
I appreciate you for it. Of course, you can find me at Chase Wassenaar on Twitter. If you want to follow my website at Unicorn Co., I'm the lead editor there. We do a whole bunch of great esports content. If you enjoy professional video gaming, highly recommend you check it out. We've got some great writers who have done some awesome work that I will always plug. I will also plug our sister podcast, the GGWP, the Geeks and Gaming Worldwide Podcast. That is an esports show that I do with former EULCS caster Pyrotechnics and Cloud9 Academy caster Mad Magical. That's a ton of fun. If you're looking for esports and general pop culture shenanigans, that's the place to do it. So highly recommend checking that out. But that's going to be it for us. Eventually, we want to do an episode on Queendom. And of course, we will have our September episode once that month wraps up and we get a chance to go through the list. And who knows what lovely hosts or guests or whatever we'll have on that. So definitely make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss it. And until then, goodbye, Internet.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Yedin's part, I don't think that's her name. Hold on. What's her name?
If I remember to cut it out, that'll make a great outtake.
Yeah.
I'm over here like,
this is when actually... K Profiles becomes your best friend. That's like, I have that up almost 24/7 when I do these kinds of recordings.
I love you. What's your face?
Yes, yes.
Hi, it's Zach, here to talk to you about one of the most valuable traits a podcaster can have, honesty. I did a truly horrible job with a 60-second round in this podcast, taking way too long and forgetting to bring up half the things that I should have. To fix that, I considered re-recording my part and just sliding it in, pretending that's what I said all along. That, however, would be dishonest, so I didn't. I do still want to correct myself, so here goes. It's called the Girl Metal Band Boom, and the bands I've been listening to are Baby Metal, Mary's Blood, Fate Gear, Love Bites, and Aldios. I didn't mention half of those and came out of the lightning round sounding like a crazy person, which might have been true since we were 4.5 hours into recording at that point. So, there you go. Be honest. Or something. I don't know. I lost track of what the moral of the story is supposed to be.